This is Rod Peterson on demand. No!
I say it every day with the people that I'm around. It's not that people are dumb, maybe ignorant. Ignorant means unaware of how things work. We've really realized this in the last 6 months about a lot of things.
How about that?
I'm not criticizing you. I've just never met anybody like that before. Everybody in my circle likes a little bit of everything, or a lot of everything. But that's the whole idea of diversifying, right? Variety is the spice of life.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. So that was 6 months into the pandemic. Can I tell you that we're now 9 months into the pandemic? And we still don't know anything.
That's right.
As far as the virus goes, we don't know anything. It's funny because, hi, everybody. How do you like us so far? It's funny because I was thinking this morning, my wife telling me it's minus 27 Celsius with the wind chill. And I'm thinking, I thought the virus couldn't survive the heat. Here we are. We've been through summer, a hot one. I thought the heat was supposed to kill this thing.
Let's hope the cold does.
Yeah, that's our next guess.
Exactly.
Nobody knows. Or as our good friend Noogsy says, watching this morning, voice of the Notre Dame Hounds, aren't we 3 years into the pandemic? Oh, my Lord. Doesn't it feel that way? Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're going to try and spend the next 2 hours putting a smile on your face, talking sports, and I'm excited about it as it is episode number 357 of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. And coming up on the program today, here in hour one, a guy that's got to be, I would like to say, a good friend of mine, Scott Barney, the head coach and general manager of the Humboldt Broncos. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time from the EPA, Elgar Peterson Arena in Humboldt. They're off to a good start, the Broncos.
Yep.
Doing some great things in the community, too. And then in hour two, Nick Lewis, Canadian Football Hall of Famer in waiting. He's going to have some thoughts, I'm sure, on all of the topics that I'm about to get to today. Just want to say good morning to our viewers. This is interesting. Like you, like me, you folks really seem to like the analytics. Phil Reese checks in from Miami, Florida. Carlos Legena checks in from Indianapolis, Indiana. Gary Alinkin from Winnipeg, Manitoba. We were running some analytics last night because our sponsors have been asking for them, and I don't know whether this is good or not. I think it's good that a third of our viewers are in the United States of America. It's somewhat mind-blowing to me, but it's great, too.
Oh, yeah. It's phenomenal. When we put this together, I wouldn't have thought that would be the case.
Me either.
What do they care about the CFL or the NHL for that matter even,
well,
right?
We're finding out.
And we're finding out that it's not even about that. They love the conversation. They love getting around the coffee table for the morning or mid-afternoon coffee, and we welcome them. It's fun.
Again, it is the sports talk version of The View. So anyways, let's get to the quick six show topics. Director Jordan, please. Number one. Monday Night Football was a treat.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the New England Patriots outlast the New York Jets 30-27 at MetLife, and it was a game where Cam Newton, it was exactly what you want, really,
yep.
Marched his team down the field in the dying minute to win the football game. It's the way you draw it up, and as I tweeted, I want the Patriots to lose, but Cam to win. Is that weird? It got a lot of reaction. It reminds me of that eggs commercial. No, it's not weird. You're weird for thinking it's weird.
Your pants are weird.
Exactly. So just the smile on Cam Newton's face when he jogged off the field victorious was worth Bill feeling good. You know what I mean? I'd rather have Cam Newton happy. And so the New York Jets are 0-9, and it's led to our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Will the New York Jets win a game this year? Yes or no? I don't know. I haven't even, we just posted this not that long ago. What's the results? About 50-50?
Yeah, 57% say don't hold your breath.
Is that a no?
That would be a no. And okay. About 42% are saying yes right now.
On Twitter, 59% saying no, the Jets won't win a game. Which, incidentally, maybe later on down the line, the poll question will be, will the Dallas Cowboys win another game this year? Because I don't think they will either. But if the Jets go 0-16, they're going to get the number one overall pick. And at the very least for Dallas, they'll have the best defensive player available in the draft, which is what they need.
Look at their schedule. So, I pulled up the Jets schedule. And just taking a quick peek at this, Rod, the Jets are going 0-16. They got the Chargers. They got Justin Herbert and the Chargers next week. Or after they go on a bye. Then they got Justin Herbert. Then they got Tua and the Dolphins, who are playing really well. Then they got the Raiders, who are very good. Seattle, the Rams, Cleveland, and then they finish the season against the New England Patriots. So they might be 0-15 coming into that last game in New England for a chance to break the undefeated or the winless season,
which they'll lose. So yeah. There's the poll question. I think they're not going to win a game.
No.
So they'll be getting
Trevor.
This
was the one.
They'll be getting Trevor Lawrence. From our viewers, Ian Bodnarek, who says he's hauling oats this morning. And in Saskatchewan, that's different than the musical band. He's hauling oats. Believe me, I've done it. He says, you guys are a breath of fresh air. Thank you, Ian. We try to stay away from COVID talk and politics, and so far we've done a pretty good job of that. By the way, John in Edmonton says, did the CFL commissioner bail on you again? Seriously, what's going on with him? Well, we won't have Commissioner Randy Ambrosi today, but we're going to have the commissioner soon. Clark, producer Clark, continues to run out and show me his text string with the league's PR guy, Lucas Barrett. He's like, Rod, something came up. They're not dodging us. I believe Randy Ambrosi. If he tells me something, I believe it. How many times do I need to go on record and say I'm on Team Ambrosi? So I'm not going to trounce the guy because he keeps rescheduling the interview. We're one of the very few live sports talk shows in the country. It's not easy for a guy like him to line up his day.
Yeah.
I get it.
But to the viewer, it looks like a game of whack-a-mole, right? In this corner.
How do you think we feel? How do you think Clark feels?
I know.
Trying to line up guests. But anyways, are you going anywhere? Like, we'll get him. What's the rush?
We're not going anywhere.
No. Grab a Snickers bar. Point two, more on the Mike Riley grievance. So we've had 24 hours to kind of mull that over. The quarterback of the BC Lions filing a grievance against his football team for not paying him the guaranteed salary, $250,000. TSN has now picked up on the story. I'm seeing some reports from Dave Naylor and Farhan Lalji. But the guys that broke the story, Three Down Nation and Justin Dunk. And I would encourage you to go read that and then go over and read TSN's. And initially, I didn't think TSN was doing anything on it. I watched 40 minutes of SportsCenter this morning while I was pounding away on the stationary bike, and there was nothing on it. It was Monday Night Football, Masters, and soccer. Nothing on the Canadian Football League in the first 40 minutes. Maybe in the next 20 they got to it. I don't know. I changed channels. But at TSN.ca, they're covering it a little bit. And Farhan, you know, Ed Naylor for that point, somewhat of league apologists. Sorry to say, but they are, is the rights holder of the league. And I think it was Farhan saying, well, this will be settled in a settlement in the new year. So this they were going to give him the money anyways? No. The grievance triggered the settlement. Now, there's some good reporting in there for sure from those guys where they said owner David Braley wasn't aware of this deal. So the team president, Rick Lalisher, was. And then Ed Hervey steps down in a veil of secrecy. Is this just a CFL thing? Does it seem just very CFL-ish, or do other leagues go through this?
It's very, very CFL-ish. I think other leagues go through it. But this is where the CFL's got to embrace the bad news. I mean,
lean into it?
Yes, they've got to lean into this. The fact that TSN's not covering it for 40 minutes. The fact that it's just a blip on the website. The fact that it's not a big deal. I mean, Tom Brady has one workout with his new teammates in a park, you know, 10 blocks away from the stadium, and it's talked about for hours.
Yep.
Right? I mean, every little piece of information. This is your marquee quarterback in the league.
This is Tom Brady.
If he clips a fingernail, it should be front page news. He's filing a grievance against the team. Like, this should, like, this should be national news. But the Canadian Football League doesn't want that to be national news, and there's a reason we're not talking about it. It's, that's the sad part to me. This is a huge story.
No, we're talking about it. Nobody else is talking about it. And in those articles, the Lions aren't commenting on it. The CFL's not commenting on it. The Players Association's not commenting on it. And that is so CFL, and we're not talking about it. Well, wouldn't that be nice? But your fans want to know why your marquee player isn't being paid money that he's owed. So it doesn't make the CFL look very good, nor the BC Lions. But anyways, we got to move on. Point three, very big news around here. One of this city's favorite sons, Jamie Heward, is in the news. He's moving on from the Vancouver Giants as an assistant coach to the Henderson Silver Knights of the American Hockey League as an assistant coach. It's a big news because Huey played 394 NHL games. He was a first-round pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins. We could all recite it off the top of our head. Spent four seasons with his hometown Regina Pats. I've known him since I was 15, and he's 16 when he played on the pup line with the Regina Pats. So he's going to Henderson, Nevada. It's a big deal in the Western Hockey League. The way the Vancouver province made it sound, the Giants aren't that happy to be losing Jamie Heward this close to the season. I don't know if you read that article or not, but hey, you have a chance to move from the Western Hockey League to the American Hockey League and move to the Valley. I think you're going.
Jamie has earned this. He's earned a chance to go into the sunshine and put his feet up a little bit and enjoy going to work in his shorts if he wants to.
Yep.
Right? I mean, he's ridden plenty of bus in blizzard and minus 40 weather.
But he's just thinking that he's paid his dues.
He's paid his dues. And now go to the rink, you know, where it's nice and warm and sunny. But also, he's put in great work. I mean, he's part of that Western Hockey League championship in Swift Current. Great run there with that
group. Went to Game 7 of the league final in Vancouver.
Did the same thing in Vancouver. So, yeah, he's had success. The players love him. He's great in the community. And I think he's going to be really good for the Silver Knights.
Super guy.
Yeah.
Pause the proceedings. Norway checking in today. Trenton, Norway, where it is 5:12 p.m. Norway calling. Cam Newton made the Patriots look good. Will Mike Riley get his money as was promised? I wonder if David Braley forced Ed Hervey's hand in his resignation. Where's the CFL commissioner? I hope he's able to come on soon. Stay well, everyone. That's from Trenton, Norway. And speaking of the analytics that we were looking into, what did we discover? There's a country that surpassed Norway for viewership. What was it? Just Mexico! Come on, Norway! Max, you got to pick up your socks. Point four.
But we'll always have Trent.
We'll always have Trent. Tell your friends. Point four, the Blue Jays are to be buyers. I don't know if you saw the interview with Ross Atkins, the general manager, yesterday, coming out of the GM's meetings. I'm getting tingles. What did we say, the Blue Jays? We, our viewers, we all settled that the Blue Jays were 3 years away from being something that was going into this season of 2020. And they made the playoffs. That was the poll question I was thinking of having today. Are you a believer now in the Atkins-Shapiro tandem? How could you not be? And I didn't like these guys for the longest time.
I know. It's wildly exciting. When I get notifications on my phone or I'm, you know, reading the news and all of a sudden I see the Blue Jays are looking to upgrade at center field. Whoa,
I know.
They're buyers. They're making moves. That's exciting. That's what you want as a fan. As you've said, you're either selling wins or you're selling hope. Well, now this is both, right? Selling hope that you're on the right track, that there's a bright future ahead. You're moving into great times. And we're going to try and accelerate that just a little bit. That's a whole lot of fun. That's a great news day.
Can you guys put up the comment from Donald Mitchell, our Navy friend who watches every day from the Middle East? Don Mitchell says, TSN is fast becoming irrelevant in the sports media landscape. I'm feeling more and more that this exclusive CFL/TSN arrangement has been the worst thing for Canadian football ever. I could talk about that for hours because there are people in the CFL head office that will say, forget it, stop. There's no CFL without TSN. They're paying all our players. So that's true, but at what cost? And at least I will give TSN a lot of credit for a lot of things. But on this one with Mike Riley, it is front and center on their CFL section of their page. They're covering it. I thought for a minute they would ignore it because it's a very negative story that the CFL does not want highlighted. But Naylor and Farhan are covering it. Right?
No, and that's
not that deeply.
It's good.
But it's at least they didn't ignore it. I would have liked to have seen a segment on SportsCenter on it, but what the heck?
Would have liked to see it, yeah, front and center on the main page.
Jamie Neugebauer says, is it TSN's fault the CFL has fallen off a cliff? In a way, yes. Because they have a monopoly on TV rights, CBC and Sportsnet have completely turned their back on the Canadian Football League. And they reach a lot of Canadians. CBC, our technical producer Ryan's over here. Are they not still available in every television in the damn country, CBC? So when the CFL turned its back on the CBC, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the argument why the TSN monopoly has been bad for the CFL. But I don't want to get into that today.
I know. And that's the last thing I have is just... That's why it would be better. It's not that CBC or Sportsnet would cover it better than TSN. TSN does a good job. But TSN without those two is worse than having all three, for sure.
In the early, mid-2000s, CBC, Sportsnet, and TSN all did games. And I might say, financially, that was the golden age of the Canadian Football League. Those networks were all... I was working for Sportsnet covering the CFL. While also calling Rough Rider games, the stadiums were full. They were making a ton of money, and somehow or another, they screwed it up. Anyways, moving on. Point five, Bruce Arians calls out Tom Brady. I don't know if you saw that or not. They were playing a clip this morning on ESPN Get Up from the coach of the Buccaneers. The question after the game was, why are you not targeting Mike Evans anymore? He's only had 17 targets in the last three games. He's your best receiver. Why is he not worked into the game plan? And Arians said... Oh, Mike Evans was open. So that's a shot at Tom. It is. But I get the feeling that, A, Bruce Arians is a coach of the year worthy guy. Seems like a good guy. And three, I think his relationship with Tom is such that Tom's not going to get necessarily upset over that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think so, too. I think they'll have that conversation behind closed doors, and they'll be good. They'll be fine. But yeah, you know, you feel like Tom's in the first game that he's in the lineup, he's forcing the ball to Antonio Brown almost as many times as he can. And here's Mike Evans, who's not getting the targets. And, you know, you want to try and spread that ball around. But, you know, there's always, it's easy to point blame when you lose.
It's one game. Yeah. They're 6-3. It's probably a good thing that all the heat's on their butt. Darnell Duff watching in Manitoba. The voice of the Dauphin Kings, I believe. He says, is Sportsnet in a position to become a full-time CFL broadcast holder? They don't want it. As far as I know from their personnel at Sportsnet, they don't even want it. A relationship can't work unless both sides want to come together. There's your free counseling tip for the day. And point six, return to play in hockey. Junior hockey, NHL. We got a guy lined up next who's been waiting a few minutes. Scott Barney, the head coach and GM of the Humboldt Broncos, can speak to that better than me. And by the way, the rock star of the day will be voted upon at the end of the day. The contestants will be Scott Barney, Nick Lewis, and whatever zany viewers do crazy things on the program today. Yesterday's rock star of the day, Crazy George. By a mile. Crazy George was the rock star of the day yesterday. We'll be shipping him a hat to San Jose, where he hangs his hat these days, from our friends at Rockstar Supply Chains Solutions. We'll be back. This has been the warm-up of the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. We are on the air. I want to tell you the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer, headquartered in Winnipeg. Well, Scott Barney joins us. He's the coach and general manager of the Humboldt Broncos, former L.A. King, Atlanta Thrasher, and a good friend of the program coming out of the opening weekend of the SJHL regular year. The old barn dog joins us from the EPA. How you doing, Scott?
Good, Roddy. Good to be on here with you guys.
It's great. It looks like you're right in your office at the EPA. Am I right?
Yeah, you are. We just had an early morning skate this morning, 8:30, and we had a game canceled on Saturday, so it's a makeup game here tonight against the Yorkton Terriers.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, we won't keep you too long, Scott, although I think there's a lot of things we could get to today. More than anything, you opened with a 7-4 win over the Yorkton Terriers, then you get the game postponed. How tough was that? You waited 2 months through extended training camp to play, and then you have a game postponed. That must have been tough to swallow.
Yeah, you get so excited for the game, especially being out that long. And, you know, I feel more for the players, right? Probably on both sides of it. They've missed enough time. And you know what? We got it scheduled pretty quick back here for Tuesday and had a bunch of the boys in the community yesterday shoveling a bunch of the snow and hopefully ready to go here again tonight.
Well, you know, yeah, I'll get to the hockey questions in a moment. But, folks, if you follow the Humboldt Broncos on Twitter, very simply, at Humboldt Broncos, you'll see you had the guys out like shoveling snow for, is that anybody who needed it? Did they have to call the Broncos office to get them? How did that work, Scott?
Well, I think some of them people, more for the seniors, right, that need some help. And, you know, it was pretty heavy snow out there for anybody there yesterday. And you know what? The guys were around. They had their jerseys on, and they had a bunch of addresses and tried to hit as many people as possible. But, you know, I seen some guys still trickling around at 6 p.m. last night. So it shows the character of the group there.
No kidding. Great workout, too, obviously. There's questions coming in for you. Dupes, can you write these down or remember them, please? Because I got quite a few I want to get through with Scott. I think, so in the coaches poll, Scott, you were number one by a mile. Some people said Humboldt and then everybody else. I think they forget last year that you told me you were the youngest team maybe in the entire CJHL. And you were swept by the Flin Flon Bombers in round one of the playoffs. So this has been a plan, man. How did you feel about that ranking number one, and what's this process been like there in Humboldt?
Yeah, obviously it started there a couple years ago, and we wanted to go with a younger team, and obviously the SJHL is a little older, and a lot of teams like to carry the extra 20-year-olds, and last year we played with two 20-year-olds, and I think we started the season with only two 16-year-olds, so it was a process, and we stuck to it, and there's some ups and downs, but I think you know what, everybody's bought into it, and our biggest thing is getting the right people here and the guys who want to be here, right? You call some players and sometimes, oh, I want to be in the BCHL, I want to try this. Well, you know what, we went to the next guy, and when those guys call back and those leagues weren't there, well, it's too bad. We have the guys who want to be here, and it's the same this summer with the players that we've acquired, and it's all guys that are excited to be here, and for us, we're excited about the season. That number one or number 12 for us doesn't really matter, right? And obviously sprinkle in some of these WHL guys, and we haven't brought any in, and we owe it to, we said as an organization, we owe it to our players who have been here, and you know what, it's going to be a good teaching point for us some nights, and hopefully when the WHL fires up, it helps us going forward.
What was your turnover rate from last year to this year?
Well, we lost two 20-year-olds last year. So basically we have 18 guys returning. Obviously some guys we've had to move out just because of higher end talent coming in. And we added two or three more guys that have junior A experience. And I believe we have somewhere around the ballpark of 1,700 junior A games experience. So it's exciting here. We've added a few young guys in. Obviously there wasn't a lot of room, but they're here to push those older guys out of spots. And you know what, for me, I've always said I don't care if the guy's 16 or he's 20. The best players will dress, and other guys can sit and watch.
Scott, the viewers love the junior hockey talk here, so I want to ask you about that WHL transfer agreement, your thoughts on it. Obviously, my guess is you're thinking what other teams do is their business, but you're going to do what you do. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think each organization's got to see where they're at, right? If it's a year, maybe you got to bring some guys in to help some of your younger guys. Maybe you do that. For us, we felt we've worked too long to rebuild this franchise here in Humboldt. And you know what? These guys have put in, they put in 8 weeks of a training camp here. And I wasn't sending players out because I was bringing WHL guys in. Hey, if maybe in January, February, WHL's canceled, maybe we revisit it then. Maybe we do. But you know what? We really like our club. And you know what? I thought we showed well in our first game here, and hopefully can keep building on here tonight.
Richard Murray writes in from North Battleford. He says, the North Stars team was shoveling as well here in the Battleford. So that's why we love the SJ, stuff like that. You went into Yorkton and put 7 on the board. You beat the Terriers 7-4 on opening night. And one of our viewers said, what was it like facing a team loaded with WHL stars? Was it noticeable?
Yeah, for sure. You know what? There's good hockey players all over the world, right? And I've played in different countries, and everybody goes, oh, how was it in Asia? Well, you know what? There's good hockey players there. There's good hockey players everywhere. And you know what? For us, it's a good evaluation for some of our players to say, you know what? Some of these guys want scholarships. Few of our guys want to play major junior, right? And for me, I want to push guys up to any level they want to play in, and whether it be Western League or the USHL or NCAA or even CIS. And for us, I said, guys, this is a good measuring stick for some of you guys, and I'm sure the scouts are tuning in. So this is a great opportunity, and life's about opportunities, and that's kind of how we're approaching it.
Viewer Corey DeTavio writes in, hashtag barn dog. They love you, Scott. Hey, do you still have that 6'8" skyscraper you brought in your last regular season game from Beardies? Remember the kid's name, Darren? You put him in the lineup against
Cameron.
Cameron. Is he back?
Brett Cameron. Brett Cameron was his name.
Is he back?
Yeah, Brett didn't work out. Just we tried to work on him over the summer, and you know what? I can only try so many times, and you know, I like giving people opportunities, and just didn't work out.
Another guy I want to ask you about, Scott, if I can, is Max Gwinnison. I saw he wasn't on your lineup on the weekend, but he's from my hometown, so we love watching him play. And he's a you know what disturber, as I know him anyways. He always was as a kid.
Yeah. We love Maxie. You know, I just found out today you're from Wynyard. Our trainer, Skip Tyrell Degg, is from Wynyard as well, and I know Maxie is. And Maxie's a good character kid. He was still suspended from last season. So Maxie is that disturber, like you mentioned. And Maxie plays on the edge, but he also has a high-end skill level. And you know, the boys love him in our dressing room, and he's a big part of what we do. And I know during training camp, he was getting back to Harvest and back and forth, and I know his parents appreciated that. And you know, he's a super character kid, and we're glad we have him here in Humboldt.
Humboldt Broncos coach and GM Scott Barney is with us. I'm going to morph a couple of questions here. You saw us say Darnell Duff's watching from Manitoba Junior League. He says the play in the MJ has certainly increased over the past couple of weeks with the addition of WHL players. Do you feel this is the case in the SJ? He's obviously talking about pace of play, caliber of play. Has that been noticeable through the preseason and one weekend of the regular season?
Yeah, 100%. You know what? The game against Yorkton is probably the best game I've seen in the last 3 years I've been in this league. And you know what? Obviously, high caliber players there in Yorkton. We got some high caliber junior A players here in Humboldt. And it was great hockey, hard hitting. Refs let them play. And you know what? It's only going to make our players better in the end. And obviously, like I said, each organization's just kind of got to deal with it how they can. And you know what? The rules are the rules. And that's why I'm just the coach, not the commissioner.
I've got a few more questions here about the Q bubble. John in Edmonton wants to know your thoughts on the Q bubble. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but let me just ask you this. It's not easy keeping your kids COVID-free, your players I'm talking about. How's it been managing that? Because we could sit and talk hockey all day, but I know there's another part of what you do that has nothing to do with that. How have you managed that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of work, right? But you know what? There's a lot of good positives come out of it. But for us, like, our players weren't even allowed to have family from out of province come into Humboldt for Thanksgiving. And you know what? Our guys have committed to the long-term process of this. And I think it's for the betterment of the league. And the league has put a lot of good stipulations in and protocols. And like I said, every day the guys have their temperature checked. They wear their masks. They're cleaning their hands and the sticks. And you know, it's a lot of extra work for the trainers and myself and our coaching staff and organization. And it's been a lot, you know what? But in the end, it's for the players, right? They want to play hockey. And you know, you got some kids that's in their last year junior, or you have some kids that maybe want to get noticed by schools. And you know what? There's more to this than just hockey. And these guys want to further their education or further their livelihood. And you know what? They love hockey. And you can sense the tension sometimes in them in training camp and the stress level. And they're easy to kind of get upset pretty easily. And you know what? These are things we got to monitor, and that's our job as coaches. And you know what? This year, for anybody involved with this pandemic, it's tough times. But you know what? the players are excited to play, and I think this is this is great medication for them right now, is just get out there on the ice and playing.
I agree. Just a couple more for you, Scott. I won't keep you much longer, but I've seen the letters go out to the fans from the teams thanking them for their patience, because only 150 people are allowed in the building. Somewhat ridiculous in my mind, but it is what it is. Have you had to deal with that side of it, with fans that can't get in and are watching on hockey TV at home and a little angry? Like I just applaud the patience of the fans given the situation that we're in. Has that been part of your role at all?
Your volume kind of cut out there, Roddy, but I got the gist of the first part of the question. But I think the letters to the fans, right? I know they're frustrated, and I maybe hit something different here too as well. Billets are frustrated. Parents are frustrated. And you have one answer one day, and then it changes 3 days later. And you know what? Our organization, for ourselves, have tried to do the best to keep everybody posted as much as we can. You know what? In the end, you're not going to make everybody happy. And it's a tough times. For example, for us to get 150 fans in, last year we averaged just under 1,000 fans, and we had 600 season ticket holders, right? So it's who do you let in, who do you don't? And you know what? Like, hopefully soon we can get more fans in. And you know, the league's done a good job keeping us updated. And you know what? Hopefully we can keep playing here. Obviously, the cases are rising, but everybody seems safe. And for us, I think we're enjoying to be able to play the hockey. And you know what? In life, you got to enjoy the moment, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's right. Live in the moment one day at a time. And that kind of dovetails into my last question. You mentioned coming there 3 seasons ago. My barometer in life for hard times is the Humboldt Broncos. Nobody's been through anything worse than that. Nobody. And that includes the president of the league, Bill Chow. I mean, we will get through this. It's nothing compared to that. Scott, it was not the most attractive job to take, right, because of that. But you were a guy that said, I'll do it. And Nathan Oystrick and the crew there. What has it been like rebuilding that franchise the last 3 years? I know it hasn't been easy. What's your perspective on it?
Yeah, obviously it hasn't been easy, but in life, not many things are, right? And then getting in the coaching world, I know it's you had to put a lot more hours in, and there's been great experiences for myself. And obviously for myself, hey, I want to move on with coaching too, and everybody does in their own career. And hey, if it's 10 years here in Humboldt, it's great. You know, my family's loved it here, and they're enjoying it in school, and we're loving living out here in Saskatchewan, especially in Humboldt. And it's been great for us. And obviously, hey, there's some tough days here with everything that kind of is surrounding the organization. But you know what? We try to, like I said, try to surround ourselves with great people, and then bringing in great players here. We have great billets. We have great, you know what, the board here in Humboldt have been supportive of anything I've done. And you know what, like, it's been a first-class organization for myself. And you know what, I can't say anything more positive about this experience. And you know what, I said, it's what you put into it, you get out of it. And you know what, we're in here early every morning and leave late. And I think that's been a big key to our success.
Yeah, well, I can speak for us all to say we're very just as happy to have you, Scott, and your crew there. So keep it going. We're following extremely closely. Thanks for everything. Thanks for watching every day with your staff. And good luck. Can't wait to see you in person here at a game soon.
Thanks, Roddy and Darren. Continued success with the show there.
Thank you so much. Head coach and GM Scott Barney of the Humboldt Broncos. And I'll say it again. The guy made my dream come true when he told me that they watch our show in the room every morning when they're working out or getting ready for the morning skate or whatever. That was my dream.
Have it, available for all the coaches and the staff, and it's so great.
It's happened, yeah.
It's awesome.
So we got 2 breaks left in this hour. It's only taken me a week for me to figure this out. Since I have not in my life had a tougher time with a time change than this one.
I know.
I've never had to care. Till now. So anyways, we'll take a timeout. We got a sports update coming up and all of these sports topics that are on the table today. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Yeah. Now back to the studio with Rod.
It is. Hey, welcome back, everybody. John in Edmonton says, why doesn't Saskatchewan change time, Rod? It's because the world revolves around us, John. How many times I gotta say it? Did we know that?
It's true.
Carlos in Indianapolis says, is it the time change or the format change? Either or. We flipped hours. I don't like to think that I'm that old, but there's a saying. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's brain pathways, man. So, yeah, I need to open up my mind. Anyways, Nick Folk kicked a 51-yard field goal as time expired, and the New England Patriots snapped a four-game slide with a 30-27 win over the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. The Jets fell to 0-9. Despite being up 10 late in the fourth quarter, Carolina Panthers coach Matt Rhule says running back Christian McCaffrey is day-to-day with a shoulder injury he suffered Sunday. Rhule would not say if McCaffrey has had an MRI or an X-ray, adding that he should know more about the extent of the injury on Wednesday. The LA Dodgers organization reportedly has five people that have tested positive for COVID-19. It's not clear if the number of positive tests includes third baseman Justin Turner. Seattle Mariners center fielder Kyle Lewis is the unanimous winner of the American League Rookie of the Year Award, and Milwaukee Brewers reliever Devin Williams won the NL honor. Lewis is the first player to win the award for Seattle since Ichiro Suzuki in 2001. Williams is the first Milwaukee player to win it since Ryan Braun in 2007. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. Our arcade games and batting cages are officially open, and they are booking for your office Christmas party. Visit them online at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Bring in the comments this morning. Join us for coffee. We're all in this together, right, Dupes?
Oh, yeah.
We're all in it. What do you want to talk about, folks? Let me know. It seems like it's a bit of a dog's breakfast of a day.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because we always seem to learn these things on the show, or I do anyway. And you just mentioned Ballers. What's the latest on the slow pitch league?
We got a game this week, Clark?
Can somebody fill me in?
He's gone very quiet back there. It's very confusing. I hear them talking there. They're having their own party back there in the dog pound.
We'll figure it out.
John in Edmonton says... And John, this is the last comment that I'm reading today. I appreciate the input, but we got to get some other people in here. John says, now with the 15-person limit in Alberta for indoor gatherings and stuff, I don't think fans will be allowed at AJHL or WHL games anytime soon. From Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta, he says, watch out for the Vikings. You talk about flattening the curve, by the way. When we started this program, almost 90% of the viewers were in Saskatchewan, and then we do these analytics. We flatten the curve. What did you say? There's not less people in Saskatchewan watching, but everybody else has come up.
Everybody else has come up.
Tons in Alberta, Manitoba.
Yeah, and while you do that, I'll give you some more numbers here in a minute, but I got to pull them up. So you can continue.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Let's call you up.
Some new numbers. You're going to be excited. It's really interesting.
Yeah, call him up. We can get the questions going here. Comments. Robin Wildy in Prince Albert says, Humboldt got a good one there in Scott. Solid guy. So I'm like you, John, and everybody else. I see the 10-person limit. I see the this and the that. Just from what I follow in the news. I spoke to a health professional the other day that said he doesn't watch the news anymore. And can I say this? He said, Darren, don't talk to me about cases. Talk to me about deaths. Unfortunately, those are going up too. So I still respect the severity and the dangerousness of this virus. But I also want to get back to playing sports too.
Yeah.
So to sit and see a limit of 10 people or 15 people and think that that's going to shut down sports, this is what I know. It's not my job to worry about that.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people that I feel are riddled with anxiety over, I can't see this happening, I can't see that happening. Well, for the moment, the SJ is playing. And I don't know how many times I've written how proud I am of them for not just throwing their hands up in the air and walking away and saying no season. There are other leagues that have done that. And it's been very detrimental to their staff and their fan base and everything else. So let's just enjoy the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, because coming out of that weekend, there was a ton of amazing stories. And then I saw that the Alberta Junior League was either starting last weekend or they're starting this upcoming weekend. The Manitoba Junior League's been playing gangbusters.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Damon Hunt of the Moose Jaw Warriors goes to Verdun of the MJHL's Oil Capitals. In the first week, he's Player of the Week. First week that he's there.
Of course.
So this major junior, junior A discussion is fascinating. And I'm not sure that there's a right side of the conversation.
There's not. I mean, because there's benefits on both sides. At the end of the day, I mean, you can't not allow it because players get cut from the Western Hockey League all the time and go play in Junior A, and some star and some don't. It's a great challenge. You know, but it is what it is. It'll be interesting if the WHL can't find a way to have a season, if the COVID controls become more strict. Then it'll be a little more important, too.
I just got to go by the guy sitting in that chair yesterday, Stacy Cattell, the COO of the Regina Pats, who just smiled like the cat that ate the canary, that he knew something that we don't. All these dub guys are saying they're confident they'll play. Let's let them do their jobs and not be amateur doctors. Darnell Duff in Manitoba. Dauphin, I believe, says the Memorial Cup is still planned. Does Junior A move forward with their championships? Regional championships such as the Anavet Cup, Doyle Cup, Fred Page and such? Yes. One day at a time, they're all still planned. Can we put the comment up from Chris Bird in Toronto, guys? Chris watching, big Argos fan. Says, I tuned in late here. I'm amazed at the turn of events in BC with the Lions and Mike Riley. This looks more like more evidence of what Rod Peterson has been saying for some time. The troubles are still coming at us. Chris, you need to be more specific because I sit here and extol my opinions every day for 2 hours. What exactly have I been saying for a long time? We're 8-9 months into the pandemic, and we are nowhere near a conclusion of it or the end of the pain. I'm sorry to say, but we got to get real here with the truth. And there's a lot of coaches that are seeing their contracts expire by the end of 2020. You're seeing reports that those coaches will be brought back as part of a 9-person staff next year. I'm not necessarily buying it. A lot of people lose their jobs still. And, what specifically did I say about Mike Riley or the way things are going? It's going to get way worse, is my point. So let's celebrate the leagues that are trying their asses off to get out and play. Let's just accentuate the positive, if we may. Did you find those numbers?
I did.
What do you got? Why did you give me a look like I might not like them?
No, you love them.
Okay.
You love them. Because on Facebook, our video views, and you're going to probably want to ring the bell, we're over 2 million video views on Facebook, views of the show.
Not surprising.
2.1 million. When you look at all of our video views across platforms and the listen lives and the podcast for consuming this show, we are now over 5.3 million views and listens across all platforms.
This is just Facebook. Forget
that's across all platforms. Not television, though. Okay. And then total content impressions. So our reach of our content across all platforms on the internet is approaching 26 million impressions. 25.9 million content
impressions. Just over a year.
In just over a year.
But what about the regions?
Well, the regions, I don't have those pulled up right in front of me. I just have the numbers. But
cool.
As you know, it's all the usual suspects, but Ontario is growing. We were looking at those places yesterday. There are so many more locations in Ontario and the United States. It's now a third of our audience in the United States, which is so cool. But what's lovely is that Regina, Saskatoon continues to anchor this, right? Our home. But Hamilton, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, all the usual suspects are still right there.
What was
They're
right?
Growing.
Your hometown, Wynyard, and what town were neck and neck? It was Pittsburgh, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Pittsburgh and Wynyard.
The Wynyard. Chicken capital.
I got to go from the sweatpants capital to the chicken capital.
Right. What do you got? From the guy Offset. Thank you. I'll give it back to you. Here's the viewership by region, and then we'll talk about Ricky-ing ourselves. Regina. Here we go. Regina, Saskatoon, in order of viewership. This is what we can do now. It's unbelievable. Regina, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Las Vegas.
Always.
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Toronto, Prince Albert, Hamilton, Estevan, Ottawa, Swift Current, Weyburn, New York, New York, Vancouver, Montreal, Medicine Hat, Red Deer, Yorkton, Halifax, Lethbridge, London, Ontario, Kelowna, Surrey, BC, Brandon, Manitoba, Phoenix, Arizona, Victoria, Grand Prairie, Mississauga, Henderson, Nevada, Humboldt, Saskatchewan, Kamloops, Nashville, Sherwood Park, Raleigh, Kingston, San Jose, Denver, Ottawa, Airdrie, Wynyard, Saskatchewan, Pittsburgh, Melville, Los Angeles, North Battleford, Quebec City, Barrie, Ontario, Windsor, and Truro, Nova Scotia. Thank you, Ryan, our technical producer.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota.
Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto. Yeah. We'll break here in a sec. Chris Burt says, I'm talking about the financial troubles in the CFL. The ship is taking on water. And, Rod, you've been saying this. Keep it here. You're going to get the truth here. That's all that I can say. We'll continue this after the break. Randolph Zora says, Riley is in a tough place. If he is owed the money, that's one thing. But no CFL team made a dime in 2020. We'll address that when we come back. Contract's contract. Staff's being paid. And John Kirby says, where is Edmonton? It was like number three.
Yeah.
And the whole deal was like number three for viewers. We're very high, very popular in Edmonton. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, everybody, on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back. Just got a note here from Darnell Duff in Manitoba. Says, thanks for the shout-out on the show. If you're ever looking to chat junior hockey in Manitoba, I'd love to join. See, everybody wants to be part of it. Got that, Clark?
Yeah,
Darnell Duff. Let's line it up, because it looks like the MJ and the SJ might be the only leagues playing for quite some time. Clark was saying in the break as he was running through here trying to find water, which we're apparently out of.
Yeah, I've been told.
Yeah. He said, do we have any angry tweets to read? Any angry Apple reviews? And we don't have any.
Come on.
We haven't had any hate mail for a long time, and I'm feeling a little left out. Ever since I've decided to stop talking politics, the hate mail stopped.
I know. It is kind of disappointing.
Well, I just was getting used to it.
Right?
I was getting used to it.
Those Apple reviews on the podcast, if you could go and rate and review on Apple Podcasts, even if it's good.
Good or bad. We'll take it.
We'll take it. And we want to read more Apple reviews. So they're not hate. There's no hate mail there. So maybe we'll read some positive reviews, but that doesn't seem as exciting.
Well, it's one thing that somehow things have changed in the broadcasting business and the sports business. And the people that run the teams and the stations and the networks are so afraid of any negative publicity at all. They're just so avoid it with a plague. Anything controversial. And what they don't understand is that's what sells.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people can't get enough of.
That's right.
So, Brady, by the way, writing us on the Prairie Mobile text line, he says, I could see the Jets winning one game this season. They almost won against the Patriots. Just got unlucky, but I wouldn't bet my money on it. Love having time off so I can watch this fantastic show. Thank you, Brady. I appreciate it. And that reminds me, there will be no show tomorrow. But I've been with winning teams, I've been with losing teams, and you sit around on a plane on the way home or at a departure gate or on a bus and say, but we almost got him. Almost means you're not good enough. And all a loss like last night does for the New York Jets is it's soul crushing. You know what I mean?
Oh, is it ever?
We will examine this more when we go to national television next hour. John Kirby has some thoughts about ESPN laying off, 300 staff? We'll get to all of that. The pain's still coming, folks. It's still coming. Sorry to tell you. We'll get into it more and Nick Lewis in the bunker next hour of the RP Show. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow at noon Eastern. But you know you're going to stay with us for hour two. Why am I promoting tomorrow? Just come join us on Game Plus. You screwed up, Clark!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.